Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Friday, October the 19th, and it's time for our Friday Week in Review, a special Pledge Drive edition of the Friday Week in Review, live from Pledge Central, otherwise known as Buck Studio, in Vilas Hall on the University of Wisconsin-Madison campus, broadcasting to you live with two guests who have different perspectives on the news of the week. We will be talking about the news of the week and welcoming your calls, and we will also be welcoming your pledges of support to Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm also issuing a special member challenge, new member challenge. I do this once a year, and every new member to Wisconsin Public Radio who calls in, I'm going to pony up $10. So if we have 10 new members, I'm going to make a $100 contribution. If we have 20, that means 200. If we have 30, then it starts to hurt. But I'm looking forward to as many of your calls as possible to our pledge drive. And you'd think I'd have the number memorized, 1-800-383-9772. I do. I didn't have it written down in front of me. 1-800-383-9772. Make your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio of any amount. We welcome you if you're a renewing member or a lapsed member. But if you're a new member, I'm going to throw in an extra $10. So hope to hear from as many new members as possible during this hour at 1-800-383-9772. You can also pledge on our website, WPR.org. WPR.org.
We'll let $10 enhance their prize that they get.
Well, you never know. Maybe never we could work that out. It's going to not enhance my wallet, but I know that.
But it gives them a higher level prize.
That's true. Your pledge goes a little bit farther if you're a new member. That's for sure. So, whatever the amount, though, do make your support known of Wisconsin Public Radio. We depend on listener contributions for 31% of our operational budget. We are listener-supported radio, and we couldn't be this service without your support. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. Who you heard there was Bill Krause. He is a veteran political strategist. He has been a longtime guest on Wisconsin Public Radio. He was an advisor in the Governor Dreyfus administration and currently a member of Wisconsin Common Cause. Good morning, Bill Krause.
Good morning, Joy. And Bill.
And also with us another Bill Leaders, news editor of Isthmus, Madison's alternative weekly newspaper, the president of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council, and also the author of the book Cry Rape. Good morning, Bill Leaders.
Good morning.
So we're worried about budget issues here in terms of Wisconsin Public Radio's budget, but we're also following the news and the lack of a state budget, which we'll start off this week's Week in Review with that. There was a big rally at the state capitol of people who wanted this budget to pass and some who didn't want it to pass, saying that they didn't want the tax increases.
You want to pay more?
There are some good people in this building. There are some of us out here in front of us. But far too many of them love to spend our money way too much.
It's unfortunate that the Republicans have allowed that group to hijack them. But they made that conscious decision, and we need to take the message to them.
All right. Well, Bill Krause, you've been watching the Capitol for a very, very long time. What do you make of all this?
Well, there's so many factors at play in here, but the main one is that No New Tax group has control of a block in the legislature, and it's a slogan-driven thing. It's a sort of know-nothing approach to budgeting. You can't deal with taxes in the abstract. Taxes go for something, so you're not going to have any new taxes. And your Medicaid costs are going up, your public school costs are going up, your prisons are filling up. You can't stop Medicaid. You can empty the prisons. you can decimate public education, but nobody ever talks about the impact of that. So it traps people. They're trapped by their own slogan. Now mm-hmm. they're afraid if they go against it, they'll have opposition, and they won't have an answer to that question. The interesting, desirable side effect of this is finally, I think we're getting people's attention to the fact that the special interests are running the state government, and they're not running it particularly well. And it may kick back. Now people are talking about part-time legislature, mm-hmm. smaller staffs, term limits. If you want to cut your spending, okay, start, let the physician heal himself first.
Throwing him in jail? No, the leaders?
Well, I was at the rally, and, you know, the whole thing made me really sad. To be in between these two groups of people as a reporter and listening to them shout at each other. And it occurred to me that the two groups of people, the working people who went to that rally, probably weren't all that different and probably have just as much stake in Wisconsin passing a good fiscally responsible budget as anyone. But they were pitted against each other in this big shouting match because the legislature hasn't done its job. Yeah. And I thought that was really unfortunate.
Governor Doyle this week said that he might have to partially shut down Wisconsin state government if lawmakers don't pass a state budget soon.
So the issue is, how many people are getting get hurt between now and when the budget's done? This is why they're supposed to have a budget done by July 1, so that regular people in Wisconsin don't get hurt by their inaction.
Yeah. Bill Krause, do you fear that we might actually see a partial government shutdown over this?
Well, you've got to, if the costs are rising uncontrollably and you haven't got enough money to cover them, something has to give. So once again, I suggest start at home. Start with the legislature. Okay, we'll pick up a few million bucks by cutting the legislative budget, staffs, salaries, and the whole thing, and make it come home. If you're going to cut, you should cut across the board. And that was, you know, that was one of the things that Dreyfus had to cut when, during our administration, we hit a recession and all of a sudden our resources disappeared. So he said across the board, and there was a lot of gnashing of teeth, but across the board distributes the pain generally rather than specifically.
I don't know why the governor said what he said. The University of Wisconsin system is not going to shut down campuses in the second semester. We are not going to be turning prisoners loose onto the streets because the budget isn't done in time. But there are real consequences to this delay. I mean, local governments that are preparing their budgets now for next year don't know how much money they're going to get. School districts don't know how much money they're going to get. In the absence of that information, taxes for the ordinary citizen are certainly going to rise because that's the only way that they can make those numbers work. There's an additional concern with if the budget isn't passed by a certain amount of time, some local governments are not going to be able to get property tax bills out in time, you know, soon enough before Christmas that people can pay their property taxes before December 31st so they can count it for, you know, this year's tax payment on their tax forms. So, I mean, there's a lot of serious consequences that issue from the failure of the legislature to do its job, but I don't think the specific things the governor point to are all that likely.
Yeah. How far apart, Bill Krause, do you think the Republicans and Democrats are on a budget?
Well, at one time they were $10 billion apart, which was 10 times the budget that Warren Knowles had. But I think the health thing is off the table. They got rid of the indexing of the gas tax, so they've created a hole there that they've got to fill. It's manageable. What is coming to haunt them is that they don't talk to each other anymore. They're no longer adversaries. They're enemies. And Doyle is a part of the problem. Doyle is not a schmoozer. You know, this would never have happened. People ask me, what would have happened with Lucy? Well, Lucy would have put them all in the basement and said, locked the door from the outside and said, you come out when the problem's solved. Dreyfus had adversarial legislature. He schmoozed with them. They were friends. They were in that office all the time. And so the budget process never got to this kind of level of hostility. So you begin to shout at each other and demonize each other, and then you can't deal. You can't deal.
Yeah. How far apart do you think they are, Bill?
Well, there's two main sticking points that are left. One is the tax on cigarettes. The Republicans don't want as large an increase as Joel has proposed. And the other is this hospital tax, which, you know, the Republicans continue to draw a line in the sand against, even though the Wisconsin Hospital Association now is lobbying for the tax. You know, it's completely shift positions because it's some federal money you can get if the tax is enacted. And so the hospitals want the tax, and the Republicans still oppose. It seems that's just, you know, nuts that they won't give in on a point like that. The governor is part of the problem, though, and if you were at that rally, you would see why. During that rally, constantly, repeatedly, I should say, at the rally, they played this clip of Governor Doyle making some statement about no taxes, not now, not ever. And, you know, it was from some campaign speech. And there was this statement entered into the public domain that could be used against him at this time, that he said, no taxes, no new taxes, and then any time he proposes anything that is a tax increase, that would be thrown back in his face. And I think it was probably not a responsible thing for him to have said that as a candidate, that taxes will not be raised, not ever. You know, taxes are what make government run. And his saying that is being used against him, and to me, that means he shouldn't have said it. Yeah.
You're listening to the Friday Week in Review on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Bill Krause and Bill Leaders about the news of the week. We will continue and welcome your calls of the issues of the week that you'd like to talk about. Our call-in number is 1-800-642-1234. However, I want you to call another number as well, the number into Pledge Central, where we are broadcasting from right now. We want to hear the phones ring with your pledges of support to Wisconsin Public Radio, 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772. 9772. You can also pledge online at WPR.org. We are working toward a $9,000 goal this hour. $9,000 to raise by the end of the hour in support of Wisconsin Public Radio, in support of the programming that you value, in support of programs like The Week in Review, where every week you hear from two guests from different perspectives on all the important news of the week on a state, national, and international level. We have raised so far $990 toward that $9,000 goal. That's great.
Woohoo.
Yay. Hey, we're on our way.
10%.
And that's right. We get there one pledge at a time. And every pledge, I forgot to mention this, every pledge during this hour will also receive a special list of websites and blogs that were recommended by our many Week in Review regulars. I don't know if you two contributed to that list, but we have Isthmus and your blog on the list. I don't have it in front of me, The Leaders. And we have some lists on the left and on the right and in between. So that's a special list of favorite websites and blogs of our Week in Review regulars, where you can type onto that and be as smart as our guests by reading along on those things. I also have a special challenge going on of a new members. Any new member who calls in this hour, I'm going to chip in $10 for every single new member who calls in during this hour, the last Week in Review of our Fall Pledge Drive. 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Do you have something to say?
Yeah, I'd just like to make a point about this particular program, the Week in Review. I've been doing it 5 or 6 years, and I just want to say what a valuable thing I think it is for even for someone to meet, like me, to be exposed to other arguments in a forum like this. And the shows that I listen to, I have the same experience. It's very easy for someone like me to turn on the radio or the TV and hear conservatives who make me mad. But what Wisconsin Public Radio has consistently done is expose me to conservatives who make me think. And I appreciate that.
Conservatives kind of, sort of, like Bill Krause?
Absolutely.
Well, let me add to that, as I've told you many times, this is the last remaining statewide medium. Mm-hmm. All the newspaper, all the print press have gone local or regional at the most. You can get the Milwaukee paper in Ashland, but you got to go to a newsstand to get it. There's no distribution by the print press. Tell your partner in crime, Wisconsin Public Television, doesn't do half the job that you do in covering the state. You are it. So you're the binding medium in this state, and you're the last one standing.
Well, what an endorsement from Bill Krause, and I hope you find that worthy of a pledge, and Bill Leaders, for that matter, for the thoughtful discussion that you hear on the Week in Review each and every week here on the Ideas Network. It's not a shout fest on the Week in Review, and I know I learn something new every day, and especially during the Week in Review.
Yes, indeed. It bears repeating at this point that when we're talking about the budget, that in the assembly, in the version of the state budget that passed the state assembly, some coward, he or she has never admitted who it was, came forward and struck all of the money for Wisconsin Public Radio and virtually all the money for Wisconsin Public Television from the budget, and it passed the state assembly. I'm told that in the compromise version of the budget that was arrived at before the governor recently got involved, that that money had been restored, mm-hmm. which is a great thing. But the very idea that some coward in the legislature would attack funding for Wisconsin Public Radio, Wisconsin Public Television, is just astounding. And the fact that the people of this state and the listeners of Wisconsin Public Radio, through their listenership and through their financial support, you know, are there for the station is one of the reasons that, you know, this coward was not able to get away with it. I say coward because no one knows who it is and no one has come forward.
The views expressed are those of Bill Leaders, and we thank him for those words. We remain very hopeful, but the situation is uncertain when it comes to how the state budget is going to treat Wisconsin Public Broadcasting. But do call in your pledge. You are the most important source of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. Remember that every pledge of any amount gets the Week in Review web and blog favorites, some sites on the left and the right and the center that you can explore. Every new member pledge this hour will get an extra $10 courtesy of yours truly. I'm going to dig into my own wallet and chip in $10 for every single new member who calls in this hour. Sometimes I get away pretty easy if not many new members call in. Sometimes it's in the 20s and 30s, and then it starts getting a little expensive. But I'm happy to do it, to encourage you to become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio and to support Wisconsin Public Radio with your pledge. 1-800-383-9772. Well, look at this. Bill Leaders has just handed me his check for his contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you so much, Bill. You know what? This entitles you to the Wisconsin Public Woo-hoo. Radio water bottle.
So, oh, cool.
you'll get that.
You had 10 bucks, what will he get?
That's right. Are you
so
brand new?
So now I'll be carrying your guys' water.
I'm Joy Cardine, along with Bill Leaders and Bill Krause, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are broadcasting the Week in Review live from Pledge Central on this Friday of our fall membership drive. This is the last Friday this fall that we will be asking you for your support during the fall pledge drive. And lots of special incentives going on to encourage you to make your pledge this hour. Two great guests, Bill Leaders and Bill Krause, talking with you about the news of the week. Also, the Week in Review web and blog favorites list, where you can read from the websites and blogs that our Week in Review regulars have recommended. That's yours for any pledge of any amount. Every single new member who calls in this hour will have an extra $10 thrown in, courtesy of my wallet. So I'm chipping in $10 for every single new member who calls in. And we are working toward a $9,000 goal in order to continue to keep this program strong and to pay for all of the programming that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. You have raised so far $1,130. Thank you so much. The number to call is 1-800-383-9772, or you can pledge online at WPR.org. Let's take a call. Steve in Marinette joins us. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. In this impasse, I'd say both sides are to blame, but the no tax understand, seems to be the easiest way. And somehow the taxes are going to eventually get raised. On the tobacco tax, my favorite quote was back when the governor first proposed it. The Green Bay Press Gazette was against the tobacco tax because it was one of the last nice things that poor people had was smoking. If you look back there, you'll really see they did say that. And my last comment is, and I just wonder if he should get any credit for our government being as large as it is. When Tommy Thompson was in, the economy was growing great, and the government grew every year. And now it seems we need to downsize. If we hadn't upsized so much under Tommy, would we be better off than we are now?
All right, thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Bill Krause, you want to start?
Tommy was an activist and an expansionist, and the demands on government are limitless. And he responded to a lot of many. He was like Bill Clinton. He wrote an economic boom, so he got free money to do it. So I'm always amused by the proposition that we should have a rainy day fund in government. It rains every day in government. There's always somebody whose needs are being presented and whose needs are great, and you can't meet them.
Mm-hmm. Bill Leaders?
It's the height of irony that the Republicans are somehow championing opposition to a budget that includes taxes and expansion of state government. Government expanded dramatically under Tommy Thompson. Jim Doyle has been a force of restraint on state spending and state government, much to it's created problems for him with his relationships with state workers and state unions. But, you know, it's not... I don't understand how this perception persists that somehow it's the Republicans who are the fiscally tight-fisted ones and the Democrats are the big spenders. In Wisconsin, it's been just the opposite.
Yeah. As for the cigarette tax, the governor proposed a $1.25 hike in the cigarette tax, and at least in negotiations, the Republicans were
they initially
agreeing.
Agreed to it, but then they came forward with a proposal that raised only 75
cents. 75 cents, yeah.
It used to be that sin taxes were the easy route, except beer. You can't touch beer in Wisconsin. It's still a buck a barrel. But sin taxes would pass routinely. But once you take that no new taxes, no tax increases, you're stuck. It goes across the board.
We'll take another caller going next to Joel in Green Bay. Good morning, Joel. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. What I'd like to discuss is the patient compensation fund. That seems to have dropped off the radar. The governor for the past 3 years has tried to raid the fund, and now he's trying to get $175 million. It's defined as an irrevocable trust, and is. As a physician, I know it's vitally important for the malpractice climate of Wisconsin to have a very active and healthy fund. People come from other states because they simply can't afford to practice in those states, but Wisconsin is probably one of the 8 or 9 states where such a fund exists.
All right, Joel, thanks very much for that. The transfer of some funds from that fund is in the governor's budget, and I believe the Republicans are agreeing to that as well. Do you know, Bill Leaders?
I don't know if the Republicans are agreeing. I know that the governor has proposed doing that to take money out of that fund, which I don't think is all that responsible. That fund exists for the purpose it was created, not to help him plug a budget shortfall. This is really going on a huge level on the federal in the federal government, where Bush is raiding other pots of money in order to, you know, fund his war in Iraq and to keep government running. And, you know, at some point you have to pay the piper when you take money away from these pots where it is needed, and you know, you deplete them for the sake of having the money for your temporary need.
The only question would be whether the estimates were wrong, that they overfunded the need, and I guess you have to rely on the governor and the legislature to have determined that.
An email from Roger in Madison, who says the budget crisis is caused in large part by our gerrymandering crisis. There are too many safe seats where the ideologues can't be thrown out. Bill Krause?
There is endemic deafness in the legislature, and it is, and that's one of the reasons. The need for money is so great in the disputed districts that there's a tacit conspiracy to get as many safe seats as possible so you don't have to spend your money across the board. And redistricting would, on the Iowa plan, would begin to open that, reopen that door, but not as long as it's a money-driven system.
Absolutely. And redistricting is a great idea. It's a good government idea. It would have, it makes enormous sense from every perspective, but it will never pass until the people of the state demand it.
Yeah.
Mike McCabe, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, wrote a column that was published yesterday that identified two fundamental root problems for the budget impasse. One is the redistricting, and the other is the fact that lawmakers are still able to conduct fundraisers while the budget is in play. In fact, he made the point that there have been more fundraisers than budget negotiation sessions in the last several months. And, you know, that's another fix that ought to be adopted for good government reasons that would also have a tremendous impact on the efficiency with which the legislature approaches the task of passing the budget if you could not collect money from for your campaign contributions while these budget items were in play. Let me tell you, they would get around to passing the budget a lot quicker.
Yeah. Well, it's a publicity stunt, but I'll still give him a plug. A Wisconsin lawmaker says he'll stay at his desk in the assembly chamber until his colleagues break the long budget stalemate. Democrat Tom Nelson of Kaukauna started his sit-in yesterday morning, I believe, and plans to stay in the chamber 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, until lawmakers approve a new two-year budget. Will that do it?
You know, when I heard that, I realized, you know, the budget impasse is nearing an end. Because what this guy should have done is he should have made that pledge on July 2nd.
One of the desirable side effects of the crisis is that the people paid no attention when money took over politics. The people paid no attention when legislative leaders went to jail or were convicted. But this has gotten their attention. And they're now saying, wait a minute. I one time published 13 rules of government. Number 12 was the people really want a government that works. It's partisans who want issues that are inflammatory. And now the issues have stopped the working government. And so maybe the people are going to rise up and do some harm and get some people's attention and say, I'm not going to put up with this anymore.
I was telling this to Bill before the show, but the Wisconsin State Journal did an interesting story last Sunday where they sent a reporter to Mount Horeb to ask ordinary people about mm-hmm. the budget impasse. And person after person said, you know, the legislature needs to do its job and get this done. And they were unhappy with the fact that nothing was being done, almost uniformly. And so the story ran, and the reporter went to Mike Hipst for his perspective. And his perspective is, well, you know, you guys went to Mount Horeb. If you had gone to Rylander or Wausau or somewhere else, the perspective would have been different. I don't think it would have been. I think across the state, people are fed up with the fact that the legislature has not done its job.
I'm going to take another caller, but let me remind listeners that we are taking your pledges throughout this hour. We're broadcasting live from our Pledge Central here at Vilas Hall on the University of Wisconsin-Madison campus. The Week in Review with Bill Leaders and Bill Krause, working toward a $9,000 goal this hour, and so far raised $2,200 and some change. Thank you very much for your pledges, but how about you? 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. You can also pledge online at wpr.org. Lots of incentives to give you this hour. The $10 a month pledge gets you the member benefit card. Every new member pledging this hour, I'm going to chip in an extra $10. Every pledge at every level will get the Week in Review blog favorites and website favorites, a list of websites and blogs recommended by many of our Week in Review regulars. Again, the number 1-800-383-9772 or WPR. .org. Keith in La Crosse is our next caller. Hi, Keith, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just have a quick comment and then a question. And the comment is that even though I think that Governor Doyle did overstate the case about possible shutdowns, there is a reality that there isn't enough money in last year's budget to pay for a lot of things the legislature did approve. And I would think that some responsible state managers are going to have to at some point say, we don't have enough money on the books to keep paying the bills. But my question really is, at this point, now that the tax, the thing with getting money to the state schools, that deadline has passed, I'm wondering what the motivation Republicans have actually at this point to pass any budget, since that was really their big issue.
Any motivation to pass for the GOP to pass a budget, Bill Gross?
There doesn't seem to be any compelling reason until you begin to make it count in their pocketbook or in their permanence in the legislature. I want to follow up a little bit on what Bill said about the outstate not reacting. And they aren't reacting to the extent that they react in Madison, Milwaukee, and places like that. The outstate, and it's the outstate print press that has become market-driven and deals mostly in local news. So state news, you go past Portage, and you don't get much news on state issues at any level, and not even on this issue as hot as it is. So once again, we rely on Wisconsin Public Radio, the last statewide medium standing.
Mm-hmm. Any comment on the GOP's motivation to pass a budget, Bill Leaders?
You'd think they would pass it just because it's their job. I mean, because it's the right thing to do and because the state needs a budget. I think the urgency comes from just the fact that there are local governments that cannot move forward with their own budget planning until they have numbers from the state, and that's just creating chaos throughout the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And the legislature needs to get off the dime.
They have short memories, too, Bill. Remember the beginning of the end of Newt Gingrich was when he shut the government down. And people say, oh, no, we didn't mean that.
Yeah. Well, look at what these people were urging, this anti-tax rally. They basically held this big rally. It was sponsored by this Washington, D.C.-based conservative group who came into our state, rallied a bunch of people together and said, you know, Republicans don't ever agree to a budget. You know, hold the line on taxes, even if it means not having a budget. And that's just irresponsible advice. It's an irresponsible position for anyone to take.
We're going to transition now from state issues and the state budget to national issues, and President Bush holding a news conference this week where he blasted Congress for not doing enough.
We're now more than halfway through October, and the new leaders in Congress have had more than 9 months to get things done for the American people. Unfortunately, they haven't managed to pass many important bills. Now the clock is winding down, and some key areas, Congress is just getting started.
So is Congress, a do-nothing Congress, maybe Bill Leaders, you can
start.
Sure,
yeah, absolutely. He's right. Mm-hmm. I never thought I would say that, but the president is right.
They do something, Bill. They investigate.
Yeah, they investigate. Yeah, various allegations against.
Yeah, right.
They lobby each other. The Democratic Congress has not done a lot. It's not made a lot of... does not have a lot of successes. It hasn't even attempted a lot. It certainly hasn't been an effective check on the president's abuse of authority when it comes to issues like wiretapping or torture or the war in Iraq. It's just not been there. And the American people, I think, you know, elected a Democratic Congress because it wanted them to tackle those issues and it wanted them to change the way things were done, and it really hasn't.
Mm-hmm. Bill Krause?
Yeah, I agree that they're, and they are in a difficult position. They don't have enough votes in the Senate to enact a lot of stuff. They don't have enough votes any place to override vetoes. So what they do is they make noise and they investigate and they hold hearings on things that they wish they had been able to hold hearings on when they were in the minority. But it's fundamentally show and tell. It isn't moving any merchandise.
You know, this highlights really the fundamental difference between Republicans and Democrats in our two-party system. Republicans say all the wrong things, and then they get elected, and by and large, they're true to their word. They do all the bad things that they say they're going to do. The Democrats talk a good game and talk about the good things that they're going to do. Then they get elected, and they betray the people who voted for them.
Yeah, we're talking with Bill Leaders and Bill Krauss. Bill Leaders, news editor of Isthmus, Madison's alternative weekly newspaper, president of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council, and author of the book Cry Rape. And Bill Krauss, veteran political strategist, also a member of Wisconsin Common Cause. We are reviewing the news of the week on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Working toward a $9,000 goal this hour during this last Friday Week in Review during our fall pledge drive, your only opportunity in this drive to call in your support for programs like the Week in Review. So far, $2,535, $2,535 raised toward that $9,000 goal. Thank you so much if you have called in your pledge so far this drive or are a current member of Wisconsin Public Radio. But if you have yet to do that, consider doing it now, 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772. You can also pledge online at WPR.org, WPR.org. We are broadcasting live from our Pledge Central Buck studio in Vilas Hall and hope to hear the phones ring as we ask for your support. We have a group of volunteers here answering your calls, giving up of their time to help out Wisconsin Public Radio, and we really appreciate that. And we're also taking their questions as well. We had a volunteer who had to leave but left this comment. Wayne from Superior, concerned about the president's use of the words to start World War III, that is not just rhetoric, nor is that perceived that way by others around the world. In his news conference the other day, President Bush did say, invoke the words or the phrase World War III. If we are concerned about World War III, we'd be concerned about Iran getting nuclear technology. Bill Leaders, what did you think of that?
Well, I am concerned about World War III, and one way that World War III could come about is if the United States attacks Iran. It's not going to be taken in stride by the countries in the Middle East, certainly not by Iran, not by its allies. The Russian President Putin has signaled he doesn't see any justification for U.S. aggression against Iran. It will further alienate the United States from the rest of the world and will potentially bring about that type of worldwide cataclysm.
Mm-hmm. Bill Krauss?
I'm less concerned about World War III than about the cavalier attitude of using force. It's like nobody in this administration has ever read a book about World War I. It's never listened to Eisenhower about World War, about war generally. It is the worst possible response to any situation on this planet, and particularly now when you have weapons available that we have now. I would like leadership who is a lot more cautious about both what they say and what they do in military terms.
You know, it's interesting that with the Bush administration, what you see is that the military, the experts, the generals, like General Sanchez, are the people who are critical of the military actions of the Bush administration. It's the civilians who are behaving irresponsibly and the military leaders who are putting it into a more proper perspective.
Let me take John in Madison, who's on the line. Good morning, John. You're on the air.
Yeah, well, my focus is on Iraq. Putin didn't just say that we shouldn't attack Iran. They signed a non-aggression treaty with Iran, as did Azerbaijan, Turkmenistan, and Kazakhstan. So, and Putin also has called for the U.S. to set up a structured withdrawal from Iraq starting now. The U.S. has tried to label Iran as our enemy in Iraq. The Maliki government doesn't believe that. This week, they approved a $1.1 billion agreement with Iran and China to establish an electricity generating plant. So Maliki isn't buying what the U.S. is saying. The
John,
U.S. just wants to take...
Let me jump in because we're very short on time, and I want to get Bill Krauss and Bill Leaders to respond to those comments so far.
That's a great point. You know, the rest of the world is not buying the rhetoric that the United States is putting out about Iran. This whole process that's playing out before us is so reminiscent of what happened before the Iraq War. I just can't believe that they're getting away with it again. You know, they came up with all these hysterical claims about Iraq and how it was in our national security, a national security imperative for us to attack this country preemptively. Now they're gearing up to do the same thing against Iran, and they're getting some support from some quarters, at least in this country. But the rest of the world doesn't buy it. The rest of the world isn't going along, and the rest of the world will not be on our side if we make that leap.
Mm-hmm. Bill Cross?
The Bush administration has been a lot more successful at terrorizing the U.S. in the U.S. citizenship than they are the rest of the world. The rest of the world is not buying these stories.
One more caller, Dave in Wanakee. Good morning, Dave. You're on the air.
Good morning. This week, New York Times columnist Frank Rich said that after years of saying that the American public wasn't responsible for the crimes of the Bush administration, such as torture, extraordinary renditions, and secret surveillance of American citizens, that because Americans are now well aware of what's going on in the Bush administration, Mr. Rich can no longer give them a pass on their culpability. My question for you, for the guest, is what is the difference between Americans who support the use of enhanced interrogation techniques by the Bush administration and the good Germans who look the other way at the crimes of the Nazis?
The leaders.
Well, I don't really like comparing anyone to the Nazis because it just invites people to disagree with you, even though you might have a point in some situations to draw certain parallels. I will say I think it's an important column that Frank Rich wrote, and one that does identify the American public as culpable in the actions of our government. We can no longer pretend we don't know what's going on. We know that there is torture going on. We know that that these private security forces are engaging in atrocities against the civilian population. Frank Rich said our humanity has been compromised by the actions of our government. And it's true, and it's up to the people of the United States to reclaim the integrity and the honor of our nation. Certainly the Bush administration is leading us in precisely the opposite direction.
As you go down the list of bad things that have happened in my 50 years in politics, ultimately the ultimate culprit is us. Pogo was right. We have found the enemy, and it is us. Business has outsourced politics, which they used to participate in heavily. The people said, they're all crooks. I'm not having anything to do with them. They've walked away from it. We have become, as the description is, the good Germans. We're not in the game. How can we criticize the game? And as I said before, the only good thing about this budget crisis is maybe we're bringing the people back into the game and saying, wait a minute, this place is not running the way I want it to run, and they're doing something about it instead of walking away from it.
You know, the other point that Frank Rich made is that, you know, the use of torture by the United States is counterproductive and unnecessary. He quotes, he mentions that these group of individuals who had interrogated the Nazis after World War II have come forward and say, we didn't torture people, we didn't have to torture people, and we got better information than they're getting out of these people at Gitmo and in these secret prisons in Europe.
Well, we have a shortened week in review because of our very important pledge drive, so we're going to leave it on that note, and I want to thank Bill Krause very much for being here, and Bill Leaders, thanks to both of you. It's been a very interesting program. But before I let you go, I want to read this thank you from Stephanie in Rice Lake, who called in a pledge, who said, I said I would pledge again when Bill Krause was back on the Week in Review. He is, and I did. So.
All right.
Thank you very much, Stephanie.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Thanks to both of you.
All right, someone's got to give some money because I'm back on.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you had to give your own.
I will thank the listener who calls in a pledge in honor of Bill Leaders as well. And just so you know, you guys, before you head off, so far 11 new members have called in during this hour.
$110.
So I owe $110 so far, and 10 more minutes for you to call in. 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or WPR.org. Call in your support for Wisconsin Public Radio. a pledge of any amount will get you the Week in Review blogs and websites, the Friday Week in Review blogs and websites. That's yours for any pledge of any amount. And if you're a brand new member, I am going to chip in an extra $10 for every single new member who calls in. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. Thanks to Bill Krause and Bill Leaders for being with us for this Pledge Drive edition of the Week in Review. Cheryl Gasser joins us now. Hold on, Bill. Cheryl Gasser joins us now to give us an update on how we're doing so far during during this hour's program.
Joy, so far we have raised $3,000, just over $3,000, toward that $9,000 goal. Thank you so much if you've called in a pledge this hour, like Stephanie in Rice Lake. If not, how about you? The Week in Review, we hear one of the very favorite hours of the week of Joy's program. You get a chance to hear from guests on the left and the right, call in and join in the discussion. It is a wonderful hour, and we bring it to you week after week. We bring it to you because of listener support. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
Thanks to Ellen in Waukesha, who called in a pledge this hour, who says, "I love Wisconsin Public Radio." Well, Ellen, we couldn't do it without you and listeners like you who are willing to contribute to keep this service going strong. Violet in Milwaukee also called in a pledge this hour. She says, "This isn't an easy thing for me to do. I'm a full-time student, but I do listen to the station a lot, so here is my gift." So we have
Thank you.
Who listens and feels obligated to help support, help pay for a service that she values. How about you? 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or pledge online at WPR.org. It only takes a minute, and it's very important.
Any pledge, a pledge of any level, I should say, makes you a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. The amount isn't as important as the fact that you join the Wisconsin Public Radio family. But again, Joy's challenge to new members this hour. She'll throw $10 on top of whatever your pledge is to Wisconsin Public Radio if you're a new member to Wisconsin Public Radio. Wonderful to hear from you as well if you're a renewing member. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. And a pledge of any level this hour will also get you our Week in Review web and blog list. Our Week in Review regulars have chipped in their 2 cents for the websites and the blogs that they go to on a regular basis. We'll be happy to send you that list for a pledge again at any level.
Yes, you will get Bill Krause's recommendation for a website. Guess what? It's Common Causes. And we, and you will also get Bill Leaders. He has his own blog, and I think you'll get the Isthmus and all sorts of websites and blogs from the left and the right and in between. And that's what we try to bring you every week on the Friday Week in Review, a wide variety of perspectives, and you hear from at least two different perspectives about the news of the week every Friday in this 8 o'clock hour. What is that worth to you? Combine that with all of the talk shows and information that you get all day long and all week long on the Ideas Network. Is it worth $10 a month? That's about the average pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. The $120 pledge will not only entitle you to the blog and website list, it also gets you the member benefit card. And if you're a new member, it means I'm going to be dishing out an extra $10 for every single pledge from a new member during this hour. And it helps us reach that $9,000 goal, which is very important to reach these hourly goals. Your last opportunity during this fall pledge drive to become a supporter of Wisconsin Public Radio during the Week in Review. 1-800-383-9772. Really hope to hear from you. 1-800-383-9772 or pledge online at WPR.org.
We just heard from Robert in Milwaukee, who says, "I love the Week in Review. Keep it up." And I think, Joy, he is a new member, so cha-ching.
There's the $10 on thanks to Robert for that call. I'm happy to chip in because it's my way of of encouraging you to become a first-time member of Wisconsin Public Radio, to become a first-time contributor. I know it took a while for me to become a first-time contributor. I loved Wisconsin Public Radio before I started working here, and eventually it dawned on me that Wisconsin Public Radio was talking to me, too, that it wasn't just my neighbor or somebody else. It was me. I listened to Wisconsin Public Radio. Listeners help support this service, so we are talking to you, 1-800-383-9772. And every new member, I will chip in an extra $10 for every new member who calls in. I don't have an updated tally, but the last one said I owed $110 so far, and I'll keep, I'll dig in as deep as it goes. 1-800-383-9772.
And thank you so much for your support this hour. You have raised $3,800 towards that $9,000 goal for the Week in Review, for Joy Cardine and all the wonderful work she does for you, for the production that Leo Duran and Carmen Jackson, Karen Prager. It's a real team effort, and you are part of that team. Listener support is 31% of our budget here at Wisconsin Public Radio. You can take a look at the numbers and see how important you are to our programming. Make the decision to become a member, to become a supporter of the programming that you have come to count on day after day for news and information, for entertainment, and personalities like Joy and Kathleen Dunn, Larry Mueller, Gene Faraca, Ben Mearins. The list goes on, and your pledge of support goes towards all of that programming. 800-383-9772.
Just a minute to go for us to ask you for your support during this Friday Week in Review. Help us reach this $9,000 goal, about $4,000 so far. You can continue to call through the news with your pledges of any amount. Be as generous as you can, but any amount, every pledge is important and needed. And every new member, everybody who calls in a pledge for the first time during this hour, I'm going to chip in an extra $10. And that could end up costing me if a lot of new members call in. How about you? 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. Just 30 more seconds for you to make your support known for the Week in Review. Say thank you to guests like Bill Krause and Bill Leaders. They say thank you to all of our producers, Cheryl Gasser and Leo Duran and Karen Prager, for putting together these great programs. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. Keep the calls coming and I'll keep my wallet open. $10 for every new member. 1-800-383-9772.